Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on March 15th, 2015, and is entitled, The Exceedingly Wicked Spirit.
Well, friends, this morning, as we know, we are in the midst of a series, and not only a series, it kind of really dovetails into our theme, our year's theme of multiplying life teams, which is about one-on-one mentoring or one-on-four mentoring. What is it about your life and what do you know that you could pass on to the next generation? Had a great opportunity yesterday. We had so much fun with our Men of Hope at Lake Street Park. We had breakfast. Thank you, Victor, our director. But I shared with the men Joshua chapter 2, verse 10, how it says, when Joshua and the elders died, there was a generation that did not know God. And that's a very frightening thing. Matter of fact, I don't believe Israel ever recovered. Joshua and that generation never told the incoming young people about God. They just did not spend the time to really talk about God and instill truths to the next generation. And so what we're hoping that you will do with our messages, and this is one that's very, very important for you to take notes, is that you will think about these things. Pass it on to your friends or the next generation. I don't know if you saw the title of today's message, but you can look in the back of your bulletin where you're encouraged to take notes. Taking notes when you feel like, man, that's something I need to think. But today's title is The Exceedingly Wicked Spirit. Thank you. Many of you have come along and told me how much our last 4 weeks of spending time discovering and enjoying God, the Holy Spirit. Last time we were together, last Sunday, we really kind of sat in our seats and just said, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, baptize me. This message is going to help give some credence to why you and I need the power of God to get through this world. And it's not just getting saved, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to effectively be witnesses and be obedient to the Lord. So therefore, we're wanting to take a look at this, and I'm inviting you to open your Bibles to 1 John. It's very near the book of Revelation, 1 John chapter 5, verse 15. You can see the references on your note right there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And as is our custom, let's ask the Lord's help, okay? I would title this message a PG-13 message. It's helpful to have a parental guidance because that means if you don't know what we're about to embark on and talk about Satan, then we might need someone to help you. But it is important that we specifically get right to it. And I don't like to give him credit, even if it's negative credit. I really don't. But he exists, and that's the purpose for our message as we're in a series that's entitled Rediscovering Biblical Truths. Biblical Truths. Because I'm finding 50% of believers today do not believe he really exists in a very personal way. So therefore, let's ask the Lord's help. Amen? Father, we thank you and we engage you. We embrace you, Almighty God. Thank you, Father in heaven, for the Holy Spirit's going to lead us into all truth. Help us to see things, clearing the airwaves so we can say, I hear and understand. In Jesus' name, amen? There was a question that was put out to several famous people. What do you think is the saddest word in the English language? And there's a number of them. And psychiatrist Carl Menninger said the saddest word in the English language is unloved. Another person who was in the political arena said the saddest word in the English language is the word hopeless. And then Alexander Tolstoy said the saddest word in all languages, which has brought the world to its present condition, is the word atheism. In other words, if a person does not believe in God, they're not going to believe in the devil. And he would go sight unseen in a lot of different ways. It is interesting how there are so many people in our society that just don't believe in God, or if he does exist, you can't get a hold of him. Cute little story, by the way, about this wonderful godly woman living in her condominium, constantly prayed and prayed out loud like our discipleship crew is encouraged to do, right? Pray out loud for 10 minutes. How great is that? And she lived right next door to an atheist. And so that woman was an atheist next to the Christian woman. And she constantly prayed out loud. One day, the Christian lady's groceries ran out. So she's now praying, "Oh, Lord, you're my supplier. Please supply groceries for me." And so the atheist woman, just fed up, just said, "I cannot believe that. I'm going to fix this woman." She went out and bought a few bags of groceries, laid it at the woman's door, knocked on the door, and just ran right behind her door. Out came the Christian woman, praising God for the supply of food. She was so excited. The atheist woman opened the door and said, "Aha! I got you on this one. That wasn't God who supplied your groceries. I bought those groceries." Well, the Christian woman just jumped up and down, praising the Lord. She said, "I never thought God would make the devil buy my groceries. That's a real miracle." So when we take a look here, we are dealing with some things because people need to be reminded. Satan means enemy or adversary. The devil, that means slanderer. He is called the accuser. There's a lot of names that he's directed by according to the Bible. He's called the evil one, Luke 11:4, father of lies, John 8:44, murderer, John 8:44, accuser, Revelation 12:10, tempter, Matthew 4:3, destroyer, John 10:10. And when we take a look here, it's worth noting because for somebody to come along and say, "Hey, I believe that there is a devil," that's just, there will be others, especially in our society, says that's just a figment of your imagination to try to ease your guilty conscience. What are you doing there? So we do have an age that we live in, you and I live in, that are filled with atheism and agnosticism and relativism. But it is interesting to note, at the same time people say, well, God doesn't really exist or is not involved, but people are very spiritual in their approach. It's one of those weird balances in society. USA Today did a poll to teenagers asking them what they feel about basically, you know, their belief in God or the supernatural. Teenagers, 95% believe that everybody's going to have one supernatural phenomenon that happens. That 74% of teenagers in our nation believe in angels. That 50% believe in ESP. 25% of our teenagers believe in witchcraft. 25% believe in ghosts. And 16% believe in the Loch Ness Monster. So when you look at that saying, well, God's not out there, but the spiritual realm we do believe in. So let's take a look here. First point, his reality. Does he actually exist? And let's go to Luke 10. You can see Luke 10 there in the gospel. Let's see what Jesus has to say. It's always a good starting point because the Bible tells us that there is a God. Isn't that true? That's where we've been, that there's a God. He has a Son. There is a Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the functioning together, all three persons. Bible tells us the origin of man, tells us about the origin and existence of evil, and that's where we're at today. So I'm in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Basically, Jesus is sending out 70 of his followers, but they come back in verse 17. Check it out, because they say this in response to their time away from Jesus. Then these 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And that's really our point of celebration each and every week. Isn't it true? Isn't it great to be saved and on your way to glory? But it is worth noting, Jesus says, "I saw Satan." So we're taking the words of Jesus, "I saw him and was there when he was kicked out of heaven." So today, if you and I were to go out in society and say, "Man, I believe there is a real devil," you are committing in our society intellectual suicide. They'll continue to say that you are a dummy, that you are a twit, you're an ignoramus. Because the devil is basically portrayed in cartoons as the little pink pajama with a pitchfork. He's sung about in songs. Comedy Central plays about him. So when we take a look, say, I think he's a real dude. It's kind of interesting. Like the two little six-year-olds that debated. One little six-year-old came along and said, I know the devil's real. He said, how can you tell? Well, the Bible says so. He said, no, you're going to find that the devil is just like Santa Claus. One day you'll wake up and it's really your dad. Sometimes you and I are saying, okay, how does that work? How does that work? So when we look at letter A, the mistake of denial, and that really is, there is an area in our society where we would say there's a denial that the devil actually exists, that Satan exists. But yet he sung about some of the songs that are out there, Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, Devil with a Red Dress On, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, Devil in Her Heart, Sympathy for the Devil, Run Devil Run, Devil Inside, and The Devil's Train, and that's just a smidgen of them. So when you take a look and say, I think that dude's real. No, it's just a figment of all of our imagination. But we come along here and we take a look. Gallup poll of Americans, do they believe in the devil? 70% of Americans say they do, but then it breaks down from there. 35% of those 70 say, 35 says he is a very personal being. The other 35 says he's a very impersonal being. So we're not quite sure how he's going to come, but somehow that element of evil's out there naturally. Now, where it comes with the denial is with Christians. Because George Barna did a research, and you know how Barna research comes along. They just say, here's the question. Do you believe in this strongly, somewhat, or do you disagree? And the statement to Christians was this. The devil is not a living being. He is a symbol of evil. The devil is not a living being. He's just a simple symbol of evil. Well, this is what it was. Those Christians, 32% strongly agreed. 11% agreed somewhat. 5%, I don't know. So in other words, 48% of Christians don't believe the devil exists. So if we were to even take one out of every two of you, you'd say, he's a non-matter. He does not exist. But yet when we look at Jesus' words, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We know in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, he was the one that says, when the word of God gets sown out there like it is this morning, as soon as people hear it, Satan comes and takes it away that it will not bear fruit in them. So, friends, when I say get your rest so that you can focus on the word of God, if this is your only feeding time every week and you fall asleep, something's getting snagged away. Also, Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, he said this to Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. There it is. So we can take a look. It's very clear. The term devil is used in the Bible 35 times. Satan is referred or mentioned 54 times in the Bible. Evil one 5 times. Wicked one 8 times. And so he's referred to in other areas like Apollyon in the Bible, Belial or Beelzebub in the Bible. There's a score of others. Dwight L. Moody said this, I believe in the devil for two reasons. Number one, the Bible says so. Number two, because I've done business with him. If you've ever done business with him, you know that there's enticements that are out there. And now, how appropriate this message, because when you and I look around the world and see apparent, obvious evil, we'd say, okay, how did all this come about? Letter B, another mistake is the obsession of just getting into going after the devil. I've seen that also be a problem. I don't know if you've ever seen that, or people say, man, we're doing deliverance ministries. Well, I'll tell you, that person or that group's not fully engaged in what they're doing. Usually that ends in shambles because that just is an obsession. They need to make reference to Luke chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. Luke 11, 24. Jesus says, this is what happens when an evil spirit goes out of a man. Man, if we don't help him to the full extent, there's going to be 7 creepy demons come back to that dude, and his worst condition can end up that way. So don't cast anything out. You're not doing them a favor unless we get them into discipleship program. So therefore, it's important. That mistake of obsession, the other one of denial, where we just flat forget we're in a spiritual battle. We just don't really think that that has anything to do with us today. How about number two? His rebellion. What happened to him? What happened to him? Letter A, his former state. Let's take a, basically, how did the devil get to be the devil? I think a more important question, which is often asked of me, why would a good and perfect God create him? Why? The answer, he did not. He did not create him evil. This is how it happened. Let's look at Ezekiel. You go into the Old Testament. So glad you brought your Bibles. You need to see this, because that's always our cool plumb line. What does the word say? Ezekiel chapter 28, references are there. So if you see Isaiah, then you'll see Jeremiah. Keep going to the right. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, then Ezekiel. Keep going to the right. Everybody there? 28 chapter, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So something of a melodious tone. If anybody knows what real worship is, it'd have to be the devil. Because something about he knows what instrumentation and song is all about. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in your heart. This is what happened. There we go. From here on, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub. From the midst of the fiery stones, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Now, when we take a look, most people would say, well, whom is Ezekiel speaking to or speaking about? Is this an earthly king? Well, starts in verse 1. If you look there, look at verse 1. There's the prince of Tyre. It says to the Lord. So historically, the prince of Tyre is Etobaal the second. Etobaal. And that was a king who was just fixed on himself, thought he was king. He was a person that existed in Tyre. But it's as if now the prophet is zeroing in on what is the spirit behind that prince. Bam. And it's actually Satan himself. So that's where verse 10, because we look at that as we study the scriptures. Verse 13, you were in Eden, the garden of God. He wasn't there. The prince of Tyre, but Satan was. So now we've got a spirit behind that ruling little prince who is doing some tremendous damage. So when we look here, the very source, it's obvious when dealing with this, that when we start to take a look, instead of being the covering of God's throne, verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. Instead of covering God's throne, he coveted God's throne. So it started. I want what God is having done to him. So he sinned against God. So he wasn't content. Instead of worshiping God, he wanted to be the object of worship. That's how that started flowing. I'm not going to worship God anymore. I know what it does. I want some of that. Notice me. Look at me. So we take a look here. That was his state. And you could see what's going on. Letter B, how about his fallen state? Let's go to the left to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. What Jesus says, that I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, Isaiah records this event. And it's in Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 17. He said, I saw him fell. He was there. Verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? We take a look here. Look, first of all, there are five times two words are mentioned. I will, I will, I will. Can you see that there? I will. I will. That's the root of sin. That's the I will. I will do this, regardless of what others say, even God. I will do this. So self-will that exalts over the will of God, friends, that's sin. Till sin was found in you. Here we go. So when that fallen state happened, started to take place, it was at that moment, Lucifer, which means son of the morning star, I bet he was an awesome-looking creature. I mean, matter of fact, New Testament says that he can now still appear as an angel of light. And it's amazing the amount of false doctrines that said we had our startup because an angel appeared and delivered these tablets to us. So, man, if it doesn't quite coincide with God and his word, it'd be very suspicious, right? So when we take a look here, this is where, right here, we just read, where Lucifer became the devil or Satan. And it is worth noting, because in Job chapter 1, verse 6, somehow, somewhere, seems like Satan can return from time to time to the throne. So in Job 1, 6, it says, a day came when the sons of God appeared before the Lord God, and Satan was among them, and he came to basically accuse Job right before God. It's interesting. The head scratcher, but Revelations chapter 12, verse 10 says this, he is the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God night and day. So somehow Satan has access to our Heavenly Father, and he says, did you see that one you redeemed? Did you notice how easily I swayed them to disbelieve you and go after other forms of entertainment? That's what he does, and that's how he goes about doing it. So the devil's been around a long time. He predates you. He predates you. He predates your mother, predates your grandmother. He predates your forefathers. He basically, and he knows the Bible. Man, he knows, and he has studied human nature. Matter of fact, human nature, what we crave as people, there's only really three sins in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. 1 John 2:15 talks about he knows us. Therefore, now he's giving those ingredients to our society in greater number and even legalizing certain things. Point number two, his recruits. Does he have friends? A good question. And the answer is he does. He does. We call them demons. Remember in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, how that the disciples came back with joy, saying, even the demons are subject to us in your name. But let's see if we can find Revelations chapter 12. Let's go to Revelations 12. Revelations chapter 12, verse 4. See that there? And we're going to go to verse 9. Because we have here a reference of stars. And it's a picturesque language that the serpent used his tail to swoosh into this rebellion, one-third of the angels. Verse 4, His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as he was born. Now, you and I know Revelation is not chronologically written. That's why people get so confused. John's just seeing a vision, man, and he's writing. But we got a war going on in heaven. There's a lot to do with this mother and child, and most feel a battle over the Messiah. But you can see here, verse 9, let's go to verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called who? The devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels. Can you see that? Making reference to those stars who were cast out with him. So what is the one-third of what? That's another question. What one-third of what? Well, most feel from Revelation 5:11, when John sees around the throne, he describes how many angels he sees, more than he can number, and he uses this term, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. There's just a lot of angels. So one-third of that amount. Now, the good news is two-thirds are still on our side. Praise the Lord. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I mean, we outnumber those bad dudes. But it is worth noting, even Ephesians 6:12, that there is a form where it says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of spiritual darkness in heavenly realms. There is conspiracy going on in the heavenlies above your head. There is strategy going on above your head to affect earth. And that's why 1 John 5:19, we read that. It says, for we know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So it's important for us to recognize that. So human beings are unwittingly a part of it all. Young man, 17-year-old teenager from California, his name's Wilson Mateo, wrote this. I often think Satan is a cool dude. Since he controls one part of the supernatural, he tends to let you be on your own to do whatever you want, whereas God wants to put you in a jail cell. Now, that's somewhat sometimes people's thoughts. I don't know if I want to give my life to God. I mean, isn't God kind of a party pooper? I mean, I won't be able to do what I really want to do. And so that's the thought that's out there. Many of you might remember in 1966, Anton LaVey founded the Church of Satan in San Francisco. And there are thousands upon thousands of adherents, members of that church. Now, I cannot find how many members. Nobody wants to volunteer. I'm a part of that, right? But they're out there. And their sole purpose is to rewrite the history of the last 2,000 years of somehow this church of Jesus trying to persuade people. So Satan, he hates you. Satan has a miserable plan for your life. Can I just tell you that? But that's okay, because the good news is two-thirds of the angels are on our side. And I just want to tell you, I'm okay with the devil hating me. Are you okay with that? I'm okay with that. I would rather have the devil be my enemy than God be my enemy. Anybody else out there like, oh, man, it's like, amen, brother, preach it. As opposed to having Satan your friend, man, what kind of a bad-footed friend would that be? And God against you. I like in 2 Kings, talking about more of them with us as angels, 2 Kings 6:16. Remember that reference there where the Syrian army is upset with the prophet Elisha? And they say, we got to go get that prophet because he keeps prophesying what our army's doing to the king of Israel. Let's go get him. And so Elisha gets up in the morning and his little servant freaks out because the Syrian army is all along the foothills and their little village is down below. And he says, we are doomed. And Elisha says, no, there are more with us than there are with them. And he prays, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. And he ends up seeing the hills are filled with the chariots of God outnumbering the Syrian army. Isn't that awesome? Woo! I mean, that's when you get a chance to see in the supernatural realm like that, it's like, whoa, just have to believe it. Now, I like Hebrews 1, 14 about the angel says that they are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? And the answer is yes. Those angels that are in this room even now are working so hard to try to keep you on your way to glory. And there is a battle for your family. There's a battle for your life going on. And one day we're going to just be thanking the Lord continually because we didn't realize how much we're loved by God, that He works so hard to preserve you and to protect you. In point number three, His rivals. Who are His targets? Well, let's go to Ephesians 6. You'll see right after 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians, so New Testament. 1 and 2 Corinthians, then the little book of Galatians, then you'll see Ephesians 6. Who are His targets? Well, we know the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But there are four major targets, and I've listed them for you there. They're there, right there. We'll mention them quickly as we welcome our worship team up. But let's look at verse 10. Finally, brethren, talking to who? Christians. Because everybody else is being swayed. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Not yours, His might. How many are grateful for the infilling of the Holy Spirit these last few Sundays? Be strong in His might. You go off and you can go do your own strength. Let's see how long that lasts. But always know God has a better strength for you. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that He may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So friends, there's a battle. They're strategic. They know what you've been looking at. They watch and throw thoughts. Why don't you go to that channel? They say that's your favorite site on the internet. They'll bring those things to your mind and imagination. Those are whispering spirits that try to just make you feel depleted and condemned and distant from God. But if we take a look here, letter A, one of His first targets is naturally Jesus. Started in Genesis 3:15 in the garden. The seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. And that's why Herod, remember that? Man, he was used by darkness to say, I'm going to go and kill all the children in Bethlehem from 2 years of age and under, trying to get rid of this so-called king of the Jews. Another one, letter B, the holy angels. Satan works at the highest possible level. So I now hear people come along and say, man, I just think that, man, I am the focus of all hell is against me, man. The demons are... I said, no, come on, please. Please don't flatter yourself. Come on. There's a bigger battle going on above your neighborhood than just you. And that's important. If you were to take a look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, that's where Michael the archangel came along trying to get to Daniel about the revelation of Israel. That man, I was battling it out for 21 days with demon prince of Persia. Gabriel couldn't bring the news. So there's a battle going on. What the Bible says. Letter C, Israel, another target. It says Daniel's dealing with the future world, in particular what God's going to do with Israel, and especially the covenant that God has with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all who believe, because Messiah is going to reign on Mount Zion. And I'm telling you, the devil's trying to eliminate that ground and those people. There has not been a nation that has been so persecuted like Israel. Persecuted, violated with Holocaust, like the nation of Israel. And then letter B, naturally believers. We are the target. Believers are the target. Job was a target. Christ was a target. Paul was a target. Remember that? That messenger of Satan? Followers of Jesus Christ historically have been targets of the devil. And once again, we just remember, Satan means enemy. And he is called the adversary. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sobered, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that your brethren in the world are suffering the same thing. Well, aren't we glad that we have God as our friend? He says that, I call you my friend. Let me just read this last little notation from Paul Harvey, one of my favorite radio personnel. How many grew up with Paul Harvey in the morning? Good, thank you. You just want to see where my age is. Paul Harvey had this little phrase, If I were the devil, I would seize control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude their minds into thinking that their blessing had come from their own efforts and goodness rather than God's blessings. I would do government into relying on gambling for revenue. I'd convince people that character is not an issue in leadership. I'd make it legal to kill babies before they took their first breath. And I'd make socially acceptable, attractive, and legal and easy to take one's life while making it a crime to confront someone who is doing it. If I were the devil, I'd raise the value of animals above that of infants and the elderly. I'd remove God from schools to the extent that the mention of his name would be grounds for a lawsuit. I'd develop drugs that sedate the mind and targeting the young. I would use celebrities to promote it. Now, if I were the devil, I'd justify the means by pointing to the desired results. I'd make divorce and free love right and attractive, thus breaking the backbone of the family. I'd call depraved and sick fantasies art. I'd pay premiums to boldly display it, especially if it mocked God, family, and character. If I were the devil, I'd convince people that right and wrong were determined by an elite group that can do no wrong and that it's always politically correct. I'd persuade people that the church and the Bible are irrelevant and out of date. And I'd tell people to not get involved, to leave it to the experts. If they know best, they will do best for you and on my behalf. And if I were the devil, I would make the minds of Christians dull into believing that prayer is not important and that faith, trust, and obedience are optional. And if I were the devil, I guess I would leave things pretty much as they are. Paul Harvey. Well, friends, the devil is very, very active. He is very active in our city. He's active. He's here in our town, probably living very close to you. And we just need to remind you of that. Because I'm finding that there are people that really don't believe in the devil and don't even think hell is an existing place. But let's go ahead right now. Close your Bibles. Let's sing a song. Shall we do that? I need to sing. This could be quite a straightforward message. Let's consecrate ourselves for the Lord with this song. Let's stand to our feet. If you join me, and then I'll be back to pray us off a blessing. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness to us. How deep the Father's love is for each one of us. And that, Lord, for anyone who are here that have been lied to, that they are unloved, and God has not been interested in them. We just break those lies in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just want to celebrate how much you love us, the extensive work you have done, bring salvation through your Son, Jesus, and have equipped us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, we are blessed people. And you've given us love letters found in your Bible. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, as people just draw close to you today, thank you. As people choose to say, I want to live in righteousness, true holiness, Lord, thank you for allowing the homes represented here to be preserved. Your word says so clearly that all who are saved cease from sinning. and the wicked one does not touch them. But Lord, we're going to take hold of that. Thank you. We really are safe in your love by the power of God's protection. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless each and every one. Amen. We have individuals that will be up here now to come and pray for you. I would encourage you, if you need them to pray or to talk with them, you come. There's a few that are here. You can see who they are. Please make your way. God bless you, friends. Let's see you out front.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.